Oh, lovely to be on. How you been?
Oh, fantastic, mate. I just love that. It's literally like we caught up yesterday. You're just that guy. You're just that guy that you're just so easy to talk to.
Oh, meanwhile, I'm here fangirling.
We love it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We love it. Now,
I wouldn't worry too much about that.
You're the perfect man for this job. Tell us a bit about Neighbours Day.
Look, I got a bit upset when I read the statistic that 38% of 18 to 25-year-olds experience serious levels of loneliness. And
wow.
As an adult in the world, that really hit me hard, and it's kind of why I've been an advocate and an ambassador for Neighbor Day for a long time now, because you know there's still more than a third of Australians report feeling lonely, and that doesn't just happen because you woke up one day feeling lonely. It's a progressive thing, and it's a behaviour thing, that like an entire community behaviour, that we're becoming, well, supposedly more and more connected in a digital world, but more and more isolated because of the consequences of that digital focus. And you know, I remember growing up in my street, and I literally knew everyone in the street. But then the physical nature of landscapes changed because, you know, it went to garages in the front yard and put the garage door right on the boundary. So there wasn't that proximity of connection. You couldn't look in and see someone on their porch or whatever. So you know, there's some structural things, but the main thing is building these habits of, like, if we want to turn our neighbour, if we want to turn our suburbs, which are just a place on a map with a postcode and streets and streetlights and curb and gutter and houses, like just a house, if we want to turn that suburb into a neighbourhood and change it from being houses to homes, well, we've got to interact.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Neighbour Day this Sunday is just a day to mark it. But it's really, you know, Relationships Australia are calling it Neighbours Every Day, because there's 365 days a year where my little action can get into your life and orbit in your life. Just me, you know, leaving a few lemons on the front door, or leaving some of the zucchini that I've grown, or calling up and just saying, how you going? Like, what's happening? Or tapping on the door for no reason. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of live in a world today where kind of everyone's wary almost of, well, why are you knocking at my door? Most people don't even have a doorbell now.
Can't let you go, buddy, without talking a bit of fresh fruit and veg straight out of the garden. Pumpkins.
Mm.
Pretty much the world's easiest vegetable to grow. By the way, I'm talking about pumpkins now, Costa. I've had this plant just take over, Costa. I've been dumping all my pumpkins.
Mm.
Pretty much the world's easiest vegetable to grow. By the way, I'm talking about pumpkins now, Costa. I've had this plant just take over, Costa. I've been dumping all my green waste into the backyard, into the sort of same hole. I let it dry out a little bit.
They visited your place, did they? And they just grew.
Well, I mean, there must have been pumpkin seed in the green waste that I've been burying.
Yep.
But it all sort of, it's like it came alive at once. It took over a corner of my garden. I thought, oh, that's cute. It's gone up over the fence. I had to pull a vine back because it was going into the neighbor's yard. I got it's going everywhere.
You should have left it.
I have.
That's right.
Neighborly relations.
I got pumpkins growing over the fence. Some are suspended in midair. I've never done this before.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. But I don't know when they're ready to cut, and then how much time have I got before I cut them and eat them.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, the broad rule of thumb, when the stem, where it meets the pumpkin, when that withers, it's kind of changing colour, like you'll see it sort of start to become a bit stringy and go a bit brown.
Yeah.
That's dried out. That's a good sign. And you can tell, even it's a bit like with watermelons, when you know a watermelon's ripe, when you tap it and you don't get a thud. You get a particular sound. So, you know, it has that nice hollow knock, you know.
It's a hollow knock.
She's ready. But,
hollow,
but the main thing is that stem. If you take it off, let it sit, you know, because, I mean, a pumpkin will keep for months.
Really?
You know, if you leave it in a cool place.
The last time I did it, I don't know, maybe the garage was too hot, but my pumpkins kind of all just disintegrated. They didn't sit for very long at all.
Oh, yeah, maybe the temperature was too hot for them, for sure. They need to be, you know, that's where the, you know, that old school, you know, where people used to have the cool, like under house, you know, in ground space where they keep their potatoes, keep their pumpkins, keep all those root vegetables where the temperature's sitting, you know, usually around 17 degrees or 15 degrees or something. So, yeah, make sure it's cool.
That's what you need,
now,
Mark.
Now, Beck has an amphibious problem.
Yes. Oh, we've had a frog phenomenon at our place, Costa.
Yay.
This time last Monday, we looked out at the pool and there were these two massive, beautiful green tree frogs. So we got them out, but then we looked in the pool and the girls were like, that's eggs. I'm sure that's eggs. These little tiny, tiny black things and hundreds of them. So we're scooping those out really carefully. And thankfully we had all this rainwater. So we chucked them in the rainwater and they've been growing, Costa. We've got so many frogs at our place. And we're hoping that they are frog eggs.
Not
we're guessing
toads.
They are. Yeah, and not toads. But because, you know, we had the two massive green tree frogs, we're hoping we're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've been feeding them lettuce
steak?
And stuff.
Did
like
you feed them steak?
No.
No?
No, green stuff.
Oh.
Green stuff. And they've been loving it. A little bit of fish food. But yeah, do you have any advice for people with hundreds and hundreds of green tree frogs?
What sort of a container environment have you got them in at the moment?
At the moment, we've got a big fish tank and we've got a massive esky as well. So we've got them in a couple of separate containers and we just keep like kind of putting in fresh rainwater and watching them. They're growing. It's incredible how quickly they're growing within a week.
Yeah. Well, look, what I'd suggest as a little project, and actually it's funny that you ask this because my story on Gardening Australia on Friday night, Friday night show, was we actually built a water like a little water pond garden in a pot, right? And so what you want to do is get yourself a big container, you big pot, seal up the base of it, and then get a few water plants. Put the water plants in there so that they'll start to filter that water.
Okay.
But before you put the froggies in there, make sure you let that water gas off. Let the chlorine gas off, or use rainwater if you've got it.
Yeah.
Fill it up with rainwater. Put some plants in there.
Yeah.
And then tip your esky in there.
Awesome.
And let them grow in there where there's some water plants.
Yeah, well, we did use broms because we've noticed that they like hiding in the little brom leaves as well. So we're thinking eventually we'll use them. But yeah.
They need protection. And then what will happen is basically they'll mature and then they're off. They're going to go out and populate the suburb.
That's awesome.
I love that because we need green tree frogs.
Really nice.
We do.
And if you keep yourself a nice water pond feature, they'll keep coming back.
We'll turn the fire pit into the water pond feature.
I love that.
Do. Yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well,
get another fire pit.
And that's right. We'll get a couple more.
That's it. That's the way, and of course, you know, don't get those confused, the one you're using and the one you're using.
Exactly,
But that's the way to make neighbourly friends.
Yeah.
Is to make sure the neighbourhood's full of green tree frogs. Exactly. I love this.
Everyone will love you.
Frog pets.
I turned a swimming pool into a nature pond about 8 years ago.
Wow.
And I have repopulated the entire district with the Perrins tree frog, which is a local tree frog here for me over in this part of Sydney where I am. During peak frog, which is when they spawn and then they grow out and then start to leave about December, January, in peak frog, like, the neighbours are saying, you know, they're in my letterbox. One jumped through the lounge room. Another one sitting in the pot. Yeah, they're in the toilet,
Classic.
In the gutters, echoing in the gutters. So it's lovely to hear that, you know, you build it and they will come.
Well, I love that. And you're going to have to think of names for all of them. And you can't call them all Kermit.
Neville, Clancy. I'll have to call one Costa.
Costa, yeah. Definitely.
Costa the frog.
See if you've got one there with a beard and you know that's Costa. Costa, happy Neighbours Day, mate. Keep up the fine work. We love you, buddy. Enjoy this weekend.
Back at you and can't wait to see you when I'm in Perth next.
Well, we're in Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll take it. We'll go there.
Sorry, Perth. We'll find it there. Did I say Perth? Sorry. Yeah.
Sunshine Coast.
Sunshine Coast. That's right. I just came out of Perth. Sorry.
Good on you,
hey,
buddy.
I'll be up there for the Garden Expo.
Garden Expo. Oh, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. How far away? Oh, that's a while yet.
July.
July, that's it. Hey.
You know, we're almost in April.
Yeah,
we'll chat again then, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Heath.
See you, mate.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
See ya.